We have been going through the biblical story, and the last several weeks we have been looking at some of the prophets. And there's one theme that keeps repeating itself. It's this: God is speaking. Are we listening? We hear time and time again, God is speaking. Are we listening? And we learned in a couple of the stories that God speaks in different ways. With King David and all of the things that happened in his life, God spoke through another person. When David was living in sin, and Nathan comes along and tells the story. And David is outraged at the story. And he says he deserves to pay the penalty for whoever did this. And Nathan says, "You're the man." Sometimes God speaks to us through other people. Not only in the Old Testament and New Testament, but in our own lives. Then we look at Elijah and we know that sometimes God speaks in the still, small voice. Oh, there's earthquakes and there's fires and there's wind and all these grandiose times that God can speak. But Elijah learned through the opening of his spiritual eyes in the upper story that God opens his eyes that he might see. And he sees the army of God protecting them. And then Ezekiel and Jeremiah, two prophets, we learn that God speaks through his word. And God is still speaking through his word today. Well, we look, as we go to the story, continue, we are learning that the time where the exiles are returning home. And God speaks through their circumstances. And he opens doors and closes doors. In fact, he slams some doors shut. He tells them, "Do not go there." Sometimes God lovingly disciplines us. Sometimes he closes off opportunities. That God loves us enough to bring roadblocks. He loves us so much that he continues to speak. So God is speaking. Are you listening? Well, as the people, and we've learned over the last couple weeks, we've known about this United Kingdom when Israel was one for 120 years. They were one group with different kings, earthly kings, Saul, David, and Solomon. And then there was this divided kingdom. The northern kingdom who had 10 tribes and the southern kingdom who had 2 tribes. The northern kingdom was exiled by the Assyrians. And then a little bit later, the southern kingdom was taken to Babylon in captivity. And in 537 BC, as you read the story this week, 537 BC, something unbelievable happens. There's this new king, this new sheriff in town. And the hopes of the people to be able to return home seem bleak. And this new king comes and says, "You can go back to your homeland." This pagan king, led by God, King Cyrus, says, "I will let you go back home. And you can rebuild your temple. And you can worship your God." And in Ezra 1, verses 1 to 2, this is what it says. "In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord moved the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make a proclamation throughout his realm and also to put in writing, this is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Any of his people among you may go up to Jerusalem in Judah and build the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who is in Jerusalem. May their God be with him." Pause. This was not to say that Cyrus knew that that was his God, because he thought about still many gods, but he was obedient. And in any locality where survivors may now be living, the people are to provide them with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with freewill offerings for the temple of God in Jerusalem. And 50,000 people leave to go back. And then Ezra 3, 10, verses 10 through 12 says this: when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments and with trumpets, we heard trumpets this morning in several ways, and the Levites with cymbals took their places to praise the Lord as prescribed by David, king of Israel. With praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord this: He is good. His love towards Israel endures forever. And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house was laid. I'd like to pause here and make an observation. It says that the temple was started to be rebuilt. It lay in the foundation. And there was this big celebration. And you know what happens when you start something new. When you say, I want to learn how to play the guitar. And you learn C and D and G. And your fingers start hurting because you're not used to it. And maybe you then say, I'm going to put that guitar away for a season. Or maybe you have pictures at home and you look in your closet and all these pictures and say, you know what? This is awesome and I'm going to make albums out of this. And you start maybe one evening and then it kind of gets overwhelming and you put it back in the closet. Maybe you decide, hey, I'm going to go camping. And you go and you buy all this camping equipment and you do these things. You're so excited to go camping. You go camping for the first time and, you know, it was good. And you had little kids and it seemed like a lot of hassle. And so you're like, is this really worth it? So you take the cabin stuff and you sort of, and the camping stuff, you sort of put it in the closet again. Or maybe you were so excited about, we were going to start the story. 31 weeks. And I heard a lot of excitement about starting the story. A lot of excitement. But maybe here we are in week 19, and I don't know, but I'm guessing there's a possibility just a few of you have put the story on the shelf. Because getting through this Old Testament and some of these stories, it's difficult. It's hard. And so maybe the story is sitting on your shelf or in a closet. Maybe, just maybe, you were really excited about God when he became a Christian and Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life. And you were really ramped up about that and you were telling people about that and that became part of who you were. And then life sort of happened. It's amazing how life sort of happens. And then you take God and you sort of put him, you won't want to say you put him in the closet, that's a little bit too harsh. But you pushed him aside and you said, hey, God, you know what, there's a lot of things happening in life, I'm gonna get there, just I got to get a few things straightened out. Well, the foundation was done. Time to continue building the temple. And this excitement was there, and then there was a slippage. And it says in Ezra 4, verses 4 and 5, this: then the peoples around them set out to discourage the people of Judah and make them afraid to go on building. They bribed officials to work against them and frustrate their plans using the entire reign of Cyrus, king of Persia, and down to the reign of Darius, king of Persia. For 16 years, the building of the temple was put on the shelf. I don't know all of the reasons why that happened, but I have a feeling, and the text suggests, that life happens. They had some of their own things to do. I mean, who can blame them for trying to build their own houses? They need a place to stay. Who can blame them for putting their time and energy into things that they need to do. And so they may have said, well, in this summer, we're going to rebuild the temple. And summer turned into fall, and fall turned into winter. And they said, well, maybe in winter we'll start building the temple. 16 summers and 16 winters went by. And God's house rebuilding was still on the shelf. And the Bible also tells us that there was this spiritual reality that was happening in their lives. That there was discouragement that was starting to seep in. And I think these people who came back from exile had discouragement in some ways. And I think the spiritual reality for them and maybe for us is this: it's discouragement is to be expected. And the more God is glorified in our lives, the more that we put him in the center of our lives, the more resistance there will be. Let me say that again. Discouragement is to be expected in your spiritual walk. And the more that you put God in the center, the more resistance there will be. And there was distractions and resistance from them to build the temple. And then in Haggai 1, verse 2, this is what the Lord Almighty says about this. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. It's a human tendency for them. It's a human tendency for us. To get to God later, I've got things to do. Then in Haggai 1, verse 3, it says this. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. And in verse 4, it says, is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? That's a good question for the people that came out of exile, and that's a good question for us today. As I read the story, I understand it because I can do the exact same thing. We have our hopes and dreams. We want to say that, well, if we do this and we do that, God, we'll just put these kind of things that you are calling us to be in the Bible, we're going to put that on our to-do list. How many people have to-do lists? How many people have to-do lists? How's that working for you? Some are a little bit more methodical than others, but that to-do list seems to grow, and sometimes they don't get crossed off. And then the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai in verse 4 and says, give careful thought to your ways. Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are never warm. You earn wages, only put them in a purse with holes in it. They weren't satisfied. And God calls them out. And what God is calling them out is this. God is calling them out because they have not put God first in their life. See, God's greatest priority for you and for me is this, is that he wants us to have him as our first priority. Not on the to-do list, but on the got-done list. In Matthew 6, 33, it says this, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Now, what this suggests, along with the story of those getting ready to build the temple is this. God wants us to build his house first. God wants us to put him first. And then he said, all these things will be given to you. So Jesus is saying these words, and it seems like it's flipped on what we're used to, on what we really may say we do on a Sunday, but on Monday through Saturday get flipped. He's saying, put me first, and everything else will come together. Do we live like that? And then we come to, I believe, one of the sobering parts of this story this week. As the people don't seem to be getting it, and God exhorts them, he disciplines them, and he brings them to action. He says in Haggai 1:7, he says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Again, give careful thoughts to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. And then it's amazing, then God asks himself a question. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you are busy with your own house. Therefore, because of the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops, I call for a drought of the fields and the mountains and on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces, on people and in livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. Now, as you hear those words, does those words bother you? To hear that God suggests that he stops this blessing? I mean, it doesn't seem loving, but maybe it is. Maybe God is being loving in the sense that he is doing exactly what they needed. That they needed a wake-up call. 16 years was enough for them to be asleep. And then in verse 12, it said, then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Zadok, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord, their God, and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord, their God, had sent them. It says, all the people feared the Lord. He said, God is God. And he speaks to you and me in different ways. See, God is speaking. Are we listening? And maybe one of those things that we had exuberance for and we have a project to do and something we have to do, maybe some of those things were set in the closet. And some of the things I described this morning really aren't that big of a deal to be set in the closet. But if as you've gone through the story and you've hit a roadblock and you put that up on the shelf, I think what tends to happen is you're missing out the important parts of God's story. And they're hard to get through at times. And you then, when you do that, maybe even without knowing, you take God and you put him on the shelf, at least for a time, till you take care of the to-do lists of your own life. As I think about this story, what comes to my mind this week was this. That there is times, and it's not talked about that much, there is times that God loves us so much that he brings a famine. Now listen to me very carefully because I don't want letters this week. I am not suggesting, and I'm not saying that every time something bad happens, God is punishing us. I am not saying that. But what I am saying is this, and the Bible confirms it, that sometimes God withholds things. Sometimes God slams a door. Sometimes God does things in our lives to bring us back home. He loves us so much that he cares where we are going and what we are doing. And there's no better example of that than a parent who loves their children so much and cares about them so much that they do things that the children do not like, but it's done for their benefit and for their goodwill. Maybe, just maybe, that some of us have become like the people in exile. I think their hearts were right. I think they still love God. I don't think they just forgot him. I think they just let priorities get in the way. And we need to be careful as God is speaking. Are we really listening? When he says it not once but twice in this text, that we need to examine our ways. So God is speaking, and are we listening? When he tells us, through Jesus Christ, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Let us pray. Lord God, you know our hearts. And Lord, today, dare we pray that you love us enough, that you loved the people that came back from exile enough to give us a wake-up call? Lord, are we able to accept that as part of your love? That you love us so much, like you love the people that came back from exile, like the nation of Israel, you love them so much. And every time we look at this chapter after chapter, we are reminded of your love. And yet, in the midst of that love, sometimes you close doors. You shut windows. Sometimes you speak to us through other people, through opening our eyes, through circumstances, that we might hear you. God, I pray this week as we leave here and go back to our places of work and play, that your glory would be taken off of the shelf and put to the center of our lives. That you would not be one of those things that we have in the closet, doing good things. And maybe even those good things is for the church. But just maybe, we need to put you back at the center of our lives. And just maybe, Lord, as we look back at our lives over the years, and maybe even when we're in heaven, we will look back and see all of the ways that you have saved us from so many things. And for that, we give you thanks for your grace and for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.